You're listening to the Irish Times Roisin Meets podcast.
Welcome back to Roisin Meets. It is August, that lovely wicked month, some people say. And it also means it's time for Music Month, which I love because it gives me a chance to get all these amazing musicians into the studio here. And outside this studio is the Irish Times newsroom. So it gives everyone else a little bit of a lift too, especially when it's loud, which is kind of interesting to see people's reactions. Anyway, this is the first installment of the 2018 edition of Music Month, and I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with Morgan McIntyre and Gemma Doherty, who are better known as a band called Saint Sister. Morgan and Gemma met at college and quickly began making music together, mixing Celtic harp, 60s folk and electronic pop. After a couple of singles, EPs and tours, they'll release their debut album in October. And they spoke to me about all that, about their mentor Lisa Hannigan, and about how touring with her opened doors for them. And they also played three songs, which was an absolute treat. They are wonderful. I think you're really going to enjoy this. Here they are, Saint Sister. Thank you very much for coming on to Roisin Meets. It's Music Month. We're very excited to have you because you're just brilliant. And the first thing I want to say is you're not sisters, right? Even though Saint Sister, does everyone think that you're sisters?
Yes. We get that a lot, but that's our own fault.
That's true. You can't have no one else to
blame.
Yeah,
exactly.
So Morgan, tell me a bit about yourself growing up, where you grew up and how music was a part of your life.
So I'm from Belfast. Yeah. And
whereabouts in Belfast?
At the Orma Road.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know. Well, there's some nice restaurants on the Orma Road.
Yeah, there's it's a nice area.
A little French one. Do you know a French restaurant?
Yes, Le Trois.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah.
I love that restaurant.
Yeah, that was
going
strong.
That
takes me back. Yeah, so I grew up in Belfast. I spent a brief time, 5 years in Donegal. My parents moved to Donegal, bought a pub. And I think that's where I kind of was first introduced to music, and there was always sessions going on. We lived above the pub, so me and my sister would have our ears to the floor trying to hear all the conversations and all the music that was going up through the floorboards. So that's kind of how I was exposed to it. And neither of my parents are musical, but they're very creative and they're both writers, and they've always encouraged that kind of talent. So I didn't really have any kind of classical training as such, but I was exposed to music at a very early age and listened to all the classic great songwriters, Joni Mitchell and all the great, like Johnny Cash, all that kind of stuff, and the Everly Brothers. So I kind of came at music from listening to songs, and I was just obsessed with songs as a form and not necessarily the theory or playing instruments, just kind of, I was obsessed with lyrics. So I would write out all the different, anytime I heard a song that I liked, I'd make someone pause and play it so I could write out every single lyric. So that's my entry into the music. And I kind of thought I wasn't very good at any other instrument, so I knew that if I wanted to be a musician, I had to make the songs myself. So that is kind of why I'm now making songs at this stage.
And you were meanwhile growing up in Derry, so sort of similar area but very different cities in a way.
A lot of different cities, but a lot of similar, like my family also own a pub.
Oh yeah. Wow.
And it's strange, like we didn't really meet until we were in college, but we've the same. We both have like one sister. We both like the families are quite strangely mirror images of each other in a weird way. But I grew up in Derry. Been playing music from a really young age.
Whereabouts in Derry now?
The Como Road. Okay, do you know Derry?
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. It's kind of, it's not a huge place, but it's just kind of heading out towards the outskirts of the town. But it was my dad really, who he's mad into music himself, and I think just he'd always said like, oh, if I have a kid, they're gonna play something. So we have him to blame. But I think I was just lucky early on to have been, you know, given piano lessons and then harp lessons from that, and just kind of took to it, and it kind of stuck, and that's been it ever since.
I have to ask you about Derry Girls. Do you watch it? And first of all, and do you recognise loads of things in it?
I do watch it, yeah. I have been watching it. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. I was like, you know, like skeptical when it first came out, because you're kind of like, well, what's it going to be? Is it? But it's actually really funny.
Yeah.
It's really, really well done.
And I mean, what age are you now?
26.
So there wasn't much troubles or anything like that, obviously, when you were growing up there. It was a kind of a different, more peaceful, or were there issues? And
I mean, early 90s, that's like when we would have been growing up in the north. Yeah. And you kind of, I suppose there are certain things, like obviously nothing like what our parents' generation would have been exposed to, but then you hear, it all kind of feeds in, you know, you hear their stories and there's some things that you kind of just take for granted or you don't think twice about, and then maybe only when you move away or you kind of go, oh God, that is a bit, you know, like, I feel like that was kind of their experience as well. But yeah, early 90s, we would have been growing up. It wasn't too bad.
You were more aware of it,
like, yeah,
rather as a thing, but I don't think our daily lives were
affected
by it.
Not in the way
of the Good Friday Agreement, yeah, and things like that.
Not so in the way that theirs would have been, you know. Yeah, it had.
And what about in terms of friendships in school? Was it, were you feeling very separated from other people, or was it like, did you have friends from all types of backgrounds?
I suppose in a way, in Derry anyway, the school system still seems pretty, you know, there are Catholic schools and Protestant schools, and it's majority a Catholic town, so just by default, that's kind of the
people where you are.
Yeah, exactly, just because it is, the school system still very much does run that way. Okay. And again, it's not something that you really think about too much until you kind of move away, and then you go, you know, it's there, it's kind of ingrained, I suppose.
What about you then, Morgan? Was similar sort of story again?
Yeah, well, I went to kind of a mixed school. It was like 40% Catholic, 60% Protestant. So for me, it wasn't quite the same, but I was definitely aware of it going on. And my parents were very keen to kind of keep us updated and spark an interest in politics in us. So my mum drove me to, when the Good Friday Agreement, she drove me to wherever it was happening. So she was like, this is really important. Remember this. And then I think something started happening. She thought, okay, let's get home. Let's go home.
But I remember this. Good idea.
Yeah. Let's get out of here. But I do remember that. And I remember feeling part of it and thinking, this is my town. And for better or for worse, I need to take an interest and I need to know about what's going on here.
Cool. Okay, so you both sort of then, you didn't do too many lessons then, it sounds like, or in school, did you?
I went to secondary school, I did singing lessons, but I'm definitely still not very theory-minded, but it helped me a lot in terms of looking after my voice and things like that.
Yeah, and you play, what? Tell us about the instrument that you play.
So I play a little synthesizer at the moment, so it's a little microkorg, and it's great for just creating your own sounds, and then I'll do the odd bits of percussion
and
piano. Yeah. Sorry, I play piano as well.
It's quite a big part.
Yeah. but then I guess the voice would be the main instrument for myself.
Right.
But you, like, it seems anyway, you use the piano a lot in your writing, so it's pretty integral in that way as well.
Yeah.
And then that obviously feeds into performance, but that's where...
That's where the core of it starts, yeah.
Yeah, I think.
So... You're from Derry, you're from Belfast, you didn't know each other, and then you both moved to Dublin, is that right?
Yeah.
So how did you find each other? How did this musical union happen?
we both moved here at the same time.
For what?
For college. So we just happened to be in the same year.
And what were you studying?
I studied music, and Morgan, history and politics.
Where?
Both in Trinity. So we moved here, that was 2010, and we were in different courses, different friend groups. Over the years, we kind of had some mutual friends, and we had met and bumped into each other a few times. We knew of each other. I'd been to a few of your gigs. And actually, my oldest friend, who's also from Belfast, her dad knew your dad. And one time in first year, I'd gone up to visit her, and this is my best friend's dad, just gave me this CD and said, oh, check this girl out. She's in Dublin. She's in Trinity. She's making music. She's just from down the road. And gave me Morgan's EP.
Morgan, you had a thing going on before.
I was kind of doing a lot of singer-songwriting, very folky country kind of stuff. A lot of my friends were helping me do that, but I was kind of doing it as myself. And I think I just, at a certain point, knew that if I wanted to make, kind of advance it forward and make a different kind of music, I needed a partner. And then I saw Gemma.
That was 4 years maybe before we'd actually met, so I just had this EP and
you'd been listening to it, so
yeah,
and you knew of her from college.
I did, and then we had mutual friends, like a couple of friends of mine would have played with you, like Maria and stuff, and then I'd been to a few gigs of yours, but we didn't really know each other as such until we both then sang. There's Trinity Orchestra does these, like, not cover gigs are a bad way to describe it, but they like pop arrangements of amazing artists like Gorillaz and David Bowie they've done recently, and it's all run by students, which is amazing, but someone comes in, arranges the whole album for orchestra, choir and band, and it's a really good way of getting a lot of different types of players together, because you'll have orchestral players and then, you know, people who are singing in bands who you wouldn't necessarily...
Put together.
So we were both on the singing end of that.
And what was the album that you were working on that time?
Gorillaz, Demon Gorillaz. Days. Okay. It was that year. And Morgan did a bit of rapping on it.
Did you, Morgan?
It was really good.
So you were in bit of a musical thing that you're both involved in, and you started to talk about music and...
Kind of.
Well, I just didn't really know anyone, because Gemma had been in the orchestra singing for quite a while, and I came in and didn't know anyone, and she and her friends kindly took me under their wing. So I... knew kind of that we'd be kindred spirits, and I loved her voice, and I knew that she was playing the harp and putting it through pedals and stuff like that. So I just kind of, we kind of knew each other but weren't talking about music, and then I sent her a Facebook message out of the blue asking to meet for coffee, and she didn't get back for 3 days.
Oh God.
And I was like, oh,
nearly
well,
mightn't
that's
have happened,
that.
Gemma. It's terrible.
I've had to apologise for that so many times recently. Yeah.
She was busy. She's like, what's going on?
In fairness, I was up north when I got the message, and I was hoping you'd understand, because you know what happens. Well, then anyway, before the Roman charges were drafted, you'd cross the border and then couldn't use your internet for a few days.
That's okay, we excuse. Let her away, will we? But then 3 days later, she did get back. Yeah. And you met for coffee?
We did. We met in the student cafe where you used to work, and we'd just graduated.
Yeah.
So we were both a bit like, didn't know what we were doing. Kind of doing bits and pieces, and I was teaching music and... just in that phase of like, it's kind of hitting home, like, oh God, it's starting to get a bit real. I think we just kind of jumped in head first, because we both just meeting someone who wanted to kind of do the same thing. And I suppose we didn't really know what that was at the time, but it was kind of nice going music first, because it just meant that really was the focus. And then we sort of became friends through that.
So did you just start playing together then? Just meeting up kind and of. Writing songs. And
yeah. You had that gig.
We had one gig in
that
TG Carter.
You had already booked.
Yeah, yeah.
Through your own name.
Exactly. And then at that point I was thinking maybe I'll use this as an excuse to get somebody else in and to play. And then, so that was our focus, which is great, because it meant that we had something to work towards.
And at this point, were you calling yourself Saint Sister?
No, what were we were O Sister.
Yeah.
For a while, but then we found out that someone else had that name. So we changed it to Saint Sister because it's not worth the hassle. You don't want that karma. So we changed it to Saint Sister then a little bit after that.
And why Saint Sister?
Well, my mom came up with the O Sister, and I guess sisterhood is something that's very important to us, and the fact that we each have one sister, and I kind of think that's why we get on so well, because we're used to compromising and arguing your case and and fighting and loving just one other girl. That's my dynamic that I've grown up in. So it made sense when to have the word sister in it. And then you came up with a saint, and
I think before that there was a long, terrible list of
really?
Just, yeah, really, no. really bad names. It's just a hard thing to do, because I suppose at that stage you don't really, like, the name comes first. You don't really know what you are or what your journey is going to be as a band. Mm. So it's kind of, it's a strange one in terms of it sort of has to lead the way. But yeah, we like the idea of the sisterhood. We like the sort of the strength and the power in those two things separately, and then the coming together.
Okay, well, the first song, you're going to sing three songs for us today, which I'm delighted about. And the first song is called Causing Trouble. And I really like to know the backgrounds to songs, so I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you what this story is about and a bit of a context around it.
So Causing Trouble is a song all about transitioning from Belfast to Dublin, and from an old love to a new love, and kind of figuring out what that means for you as a person. There's a reference to Belfast, and also a reference to the Blessington Basin where I live beside now, and there's Van Morrison reference, and it's kind of, it's just kind of about, yeah, that period of transition when you're figuring out who you are in relation to other people and other places and your new home.
And how do you work together lyrically and musically? Is it a very joint effort, or is it kind of, are they divided?
It's the whole process is very joint, but we come at it from different angles. So Morgan focuses on the lyrics and the melody, and then we'll kind of, sometimes that comes first or sometimes it comes afterwards, then I would kind of bring together the arrangement and thinking about, you know, what kind of sound world it might live in, or just working on the kind of production end of things. So we do very different things, which helps. Yeah, which helps. We're not...
never competing.
Yeah.
It's always like, how can I...
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Causing Trouble by Saint Sister. Lovely. Are you a fan of Van Morrison? Because he peppers lots of little references and things in his songs, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. No, I love Van Morrison. And the reason actually he's referenced in that song is because being from Belfast, you're kind of, Van Morrison is everywhere. And my mum's a massive fan. And I kind of turned away from him because of that.
Yeah.
But then we saw, Conor O'Brien from Villagers did a cover of And It Stoned Me. And I just heard Van Morrison in a whole new light. And it took someone from the south to tell me how great Van Morrison was, even though my parents have been telling me for years, and that's why he appeared in the end.
Okay, very good. So Saint Sister was born, you were telling me about that before the song, and you had your first gig, which was sort of like a bit of a baptism of fire, I'd imagine, because
yes,
you hadn't been together very long. But quite quickly things started to happen for you, would that be fair to say? Maybe more quickly than you thought?
Yeah, I think we weren't really ready for the
live
performance.
Didn't really know what to expect either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we first, good friends of ours, band called Spies, brought us on. They had a couple of gigs around Ireland, and they just said, like, do you want to support us? Which was really exciting, but we had like four songs. Like, we weren't ready at all. So we kind of debated it, and we were like, you know, I think when we first had the idea for the band, we kind of wanted to, you know, come out strong and come out ready and write a load of stuff and just have things sitting perfect, but that's not really the way life works. So I guess when these gigs came up, we just went, we'll do it. And I'd say they weren't very good at all, but we were so grateful to the lads for taking a risk on us.
Because
we were brand new. That was the start of 2015, okay. So like March 2015. Okay. And we played, the first gig was in Dolans in Limerick, and then we did Cork, and then Whelan's in Dublin. So that was a pretty, and it was quite a big gigs to start off with. And then from then we got offered some really nice supports madly early on, like with Will Butler from Arcade Fire. And that was, again, another freaky one where we were like, okay, we have to take it, but it mustn't have been a very good gig. Like, we weren't ready. That was Whelan's again. So okay. We had a lovely run of gigs in Whelan's towards the very start, which was really important, you know, to just get up and kind of throw yourself into all these gigs you're not ready for. Yeah. And we just kind of kept going from there and took whatever opportunities or whatever gigs came along. So
do you remember when you did your first gig where you felt, actually, we've got it together now, we don't feel like that, because you just said that all those gigs weren't very good. was there a gig where you went, oh, you know what, this is great, and I think there's something here? And
One that stands out for me would be when we played in Workman's for Hard Working Class Heroes.
Yeah.
And I think because we had just recorded some music for the first time. So we recorded an EP. The EP was finished, but it hadn't come out yet. And it was the first time we'd really gone, okay, there's a bunch of songs there that we've really brought into the studio and thought about, and then have like tried to realise afterwards. And it was, again, by no means great, but it was the first time I'd really felt like we were like a little bit ahead of like ourselves, in terms of we've worked out the arrangements, everyone knows what they're doing, and we had a set that was in some way long enough. It was still probably only like 25 minutes, but that gig felt like, okay, that was, felt like a gig, yeah. I suppose.
Mm-hmm. What was the kind of breaks then? Like, when did you kind of get, you know, the big supports or the big gigs yourself? When did that start to happen?
I guess it was, there wasn't really one moment, but we had a series of gigs that we had really wanted to play for a while. So Other Voices and things like that were things that we didn't think we'd achieve for another year or so, or if at all.
Because Other Voices is huge, and Other Voices, for many, many artists, is such a significant time.
Yeah.
Tell me about that in terms of the church, and kind of, I presume for years you'd have been watching. Had you ever been down there to it, or just seen on the telly? And
Yeah.
So was that a big moment?
It was, an amazing moment. And we had been to Other Voices the year before to do the Other Room, and that in itself was like, oh my god, what are we doing here? We're frauds, like, they're gonna find us out. And then to be able to, but we fell in love with the place, as everyone does, and the people who run it, and they're just so incredible and such a big family, and they really welcomed us, and we felt very supported by them. And then to come back the following year then, and to play the church, just, and to know what we were going into, and we were, I think that was the most nervous I'd been, but something about the power of the people and the beautiful energy that's in the church kind of kept us going, and we kept our heads where maybe we wouldn't have another gig, because it is so special if you've been there yourself.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it as you're talking there, because I've never experienced anything like it. Like, I've been a couple of times, and there is something very, very special in that room.
It's
incredible. So I can't imagine what it must have been like to, you know, to play there and to feel that, you know, the response from the audience.
And there's such, because obviously the church itself is very intimate and lovely, but then you know it's going out to all the TV screens. And we'd just come, like, we'd watched the gigs from Benners the night before. So you're seeing the room, but you're also thinking about
all the people
the room
Benners
across the road, and you know that it's on. You know, it's I guess any other TV thing, it comes a bit later, but you know that there's definitely a crowd of people over there watching it as well. So that was a nerve-wracking one, but.
Did Other Voices have kind of, did it get the momentum going again? Did it mean stuff for you in terms of gigs and just
developing? It did. And I think crucially, we met Lisa Hannigan for the first time at Other Voices. We were, we still are massive, massive fans, but at the time we were like shaking at the thought that she would come. Someone said that she might be going to our gig, and we both just lost the plot. We were so just starstruck because she is incredible, and we've been big fans of her for a long time. And then after the gig, I remember someone who knew her was like, "Oh, will I introduce you to Lisa?" And I was like, no. And I was basically walking away and she was grabbing my hand. And then I knew Gemma would just, because Gemma wasn't with me at the stage, and I could see her walking up towards us, not knowing that I was, that we would just be both dragged into meeting Lisa Hannigan for the first time. And I could almost see her clock it and walk backwards. Like, no, I'm not ready for this. But she's lovely.
I had to go move the car, and I remember just being in that post gig, like running around. I remember running with the keys and then just seeing what was happening and kind of maybe they didn't see. She's offered us
a lot of support, and she took us out on her European tour, which was we had never done a tour like that before, and kind of was very generous, let us come on the bus with her, and that's just not a thing that happened. It was her whole crew were incredibly welcoming and generous with their time and space, so we learned so much on that tour, and we were able to go to places we would never would never go to otherwise. So I think even just for that connection, and I'm sure other voices as it streamed and stuff, it benefited us in other ways, but that has kind of stood with us. And also, like, we've got a friendship now with someone that we think is amazing. So
very strange when you become friends with someone that you really admire. Yeah. You can never quite really like think that they're really your friends.
No, exactly. It's a trick.
You just have to accept that. It's a trick. So this next song has a very interesting title. It's called Corpses. Mm. And there's a lot of death in it, but I don't want to put that to put people off, because it's actually really something very beautiful about it. How did you come up with this one?
This one came very quickly. It was based on a very bad dream I had, and it was seeing my boyfriend, who's still my boyfriend now. A couple of years ago, we were in a long distance relationship, and on the day I had to leave, I woke up and I just had this dream, and I wrote every single word basically out within 10 minutes, just because I get that song is pretty, it's just citing what I'm seeing. So I was just imagining the dream and the words just flowed out. So it was, the dream was myself and him in kind of corpse.
Wedding gear.
Getting married, but something was very wrong. It's a warning sign if I've ever dreamt one, but we're still together now.
You'll be happy for now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It was the distance.
What did you think when she came up with all these deathly lyrics?
I really liked it. That one, that was early-ish on.
Yeah.
And I think you'd already, because of the way that we kind of started, a couple of songs kind of when they surfaced, the lyrics were in fuller, you know, form, whereas now the stuff is all new and we're kind of coming at them together. So you might hear an idea from its infancy, but that was pretty much a song. So we just
went for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is really beautiful, despite the corpses title and all the dead bodies in the dream.
My parents hate that. They hate to hear that.
I can understand it.
It took my granny a while to come around to it. She always asked me about it
Corpses by Saint Sister.
We stand hand in hand like corpses. Our friends are corpses too. And the man who took the photograph likes the look of you. We stand hand in hand like corpses. Our friends are corpses too. And the man who gave the epitaph said I wouldn't do. Darling, I have tried to fix you. I can't count the times that I have kissed you. I never thought that when you built our home, you'd make it out of blood and bone. Should go. My eyes were the first to disappear. Then went my nose, then went my ears. No eyes and no nose, this death that I chose. No eyes and no nose, this death.
Yeah.
I have tried to fix you. I can't count the times that I have kissed you. I never thought that when you built our home, you'd make it out of blood and bones. Darling, one of us should go. It's contagious, my fear and your pain. We look like corpses and our friends look the same. And we all stood together for worse or for better. We all stood together for a photograph. Yes, we all stood together for worse or for better. We all stood together for a photograph. Your
lovely song. And the thing is, they're both those songs that you've played so far are both on your new album.
Yes.
So how did it work? You had an EP and then...
We had an EP first and then we released a double-sided single with Communion, a UK label, and that was Tin Man and Corpses. And then one more single, Causing Trouble.
We recorded the majority of it. That came out in around October 2015. And from then... So we record with a guy called Alex Ryan, who's he has a studio down in Kerry, and he was really, really good as early on. Kind of just said, look, let's come down and we'll try some stuff. And we didn't really even know what we'd be doing when we went in there, if anything would come out of it, or it was kind of just, we were all trying this out. So we kind of just kept going with him. And after the first EP, we weren't sure we were going to do another EP. It was all kind of with this album in mind. So it's taken us a while to get there, but
in the meantime, you've built up quite the following, haven't you? I mean, you've got a real fan base. People like, you know, I'm trying to get you to pick yourself up and say how wonderful you are, but you don't seem like those kind of people. So. But you have toured not just with Lisa. You've been around. You've been in America and places.
That's kind of, I suppose, why we gigs were coming up, and it was amazing. It took us a while to kind of realize we're going to need to take a bit of time aside to actually make an album because. It was getting really busy with touring, which we were just so grateful for and just kept wanting to do, really. But I think that's been really good for us. That's kind of helped really build the band, just playing as much as we can and as many places as we can. But we were in the States there back in March for a couple of gigs, and then we're heading back when the album comes out in October. We have our full kind of proper tour around then, so we'll be heading
in America.
We're starting in America, Canada, and then we'll be home to Ireland for a couple of gigs, and then we're doing Australia and Germany and France and Netherlands.
You have your own tour bus. You won't have to go on Lisa Hannigan's or anyone else.
Bus might be a stretch.
We'll have a vehicle of sorts.
Well, the handy thing is, because there's only two of you, although your instrument's pretty big, Gemma, the harp. But like, it's kind of, I was thinking that watching you play, that it's quite neat. Two women and two instruments, and you can kind of get around. Like, you don't have a big whole setup.
It sort of depends. So when we do play with the band. So we play with two guys, Shane and Dick, and they bring drums and bass and synth and other sort of things to the setup, which is amazing.
But they have to carry that around themselves, do they?
Well, we would all kind of go together if we're depending on where we're going. It kind of just depends on the gig and, you know, logistics and how feasible it's going to be. I think we'd rather bring them as many, you know, as much as we can, because it just...
But sometimes it will just be the two of you.
Yeah.
So because just for logistical reasons. Yeah. But it is kind of good that you can reduce both, it down to that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's handy for, you know, just impromptu things and coming in here.
Of course.
Like,
yeah, we couldn't bring the whole lot in here.
So it's great. Tell me about the last song that you're going to do. It's also from the new album. And the new album is called...
Shape of Silence.
Shape of Silence, which is a lovely title. And also, before we talk about the song, I mean, it's very atmospheric what you do. It's very gentle, I think. Is that fair enough to say? And I mean that in a good way, not a patronising way. But it is quite gentle. It is soft. It's quite deep and all that kind of thing. That's what you're interested in, and that's the kind of sound that you wanted to explore.
I think so. Like, we've just kind of just constantly been trying to experiment and see what's fallen where. So for this album, I guess it's been the kind of the product of 3 years kind of really of working together, and some of the older songs we knew maybe we were gonna want to have on there. So it's a case of just trying to complete that and make it feel like a consistent thing. We're just still just trying to constantly feel it out, and letting the live show kind of influence the sound as well. But we try not to be limited to what we have on stage either. So if we go into the studio, we'll try and just worry about performing it live after. But that's the first album anyway. It very much lives in that world. But it's finished now, and it doesn't come out until October. We have a little bit of time before we go touring again. So we've it took us a while. We hadn't written anything in a while, but now in the last couple of weeks, we've kind of started again, and it almost feels like there's a bit of a sea change again.
Sound.
So
interesting.
Just I think it's just kind of constantly happening. But it's nice to be in that position before the album comes out, because you're not thinking about it in terms of anyone else's thoughts. Yeah. It's just your own reaction to it.
After the 3 years now, does it feel very real? Like, does it feel like this is your career, this is your life? Are you used to that thing, or are you sort of secretly going, you might have to use your degree for the music lessons or the teaching lessons?
I think if we had to, obviously the degrees are there and we can fall back, but at this stage, if this doesn't work, I don't know. History and politics doesn't have a lot of jobs coming off it, but it does feel like this is all we want to do, and we spend every day together, and it feels like
now,
a lifetime.
Do you ever get
past.
Sick of each other?
It's kind of beyond that point
is
now.
It?
It really, like, we go from one day we'll have like a stern argument to like really like laughing our heads off at each other. Like, it just feels like family. The dynamics that you would feel towards your mum or your dad, where you can be shouting at them and then all of a sudden come in and ask them to help you with your homework or whatever it is. So
do your sisters sort of see each other as the other sister now in a way? Like,
yeah, they're all very close.
Our families are very close. Like,
are they?
Yeah, because they would go to come to gigs as much as they can, and Yeah, they all get on.
They must
on,
be so proud
God.
Of you. Are they?
They love coming for the session.
They
always get a house together. And when we were in Dingle, they came down and got a house together.
They
spend all their time together. They go for walks on the beach. Yeah.
Really get on, which is great.
They're very supportive.
And now you mentioned your relationship. Are you in a relationship too, Gemma?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that all, do they all get on? Is that all good?
Yes. One big happy family.
Yeah. I'm just checking in. Like, you know, it would be awful if, that would be terrible. Yeah. If we're very different people and somehow didn't get on.
Everyone gets on, and it's kind of just one big group of friends. Even our manager would be kind of in our friend group as well. It was just, it started off as a friend, and then, so it's all very...
It's organic and close and... We kind of only work with our friends, I guess. It kind of
just
seems
the way,
like
the, way it
the song you're going to sing is called "The Matter."
Mm. Yeah,
and what is it about?
Well, that's after the Matter Hospital, which is close by where I live. And
sorry, I'd written down "The Matter" and put two T's.
Two
in it,
T's.
So there
you go. So the song is a very emotional one for me, but at the same time, I can't really figure out exactly what it's about. I think it's about a lot of things, and it always gets me singing it, and it's one of my favourite songs that we've written. And it's about a, like, there's a lot of images in there that ring very or are very important to me, and there's the chorus line is "I wish we laughed in time," and I guess that's about having all the best intentions and loving someone, but that when you're out of sync, when someone tells a joke and you're laughing and pretending to laugh, and that's just the worst feeling, I think, when you think, oh, we're nearly there, but something about us, I don't laugh in the same rhythm as you, or I don't find the same things funny. And yeah, it's a big collage of a lot, and there's references to that you mentioned earlier, the student cafe where I used to work in Trinity, the JCR, and there's just like a lot of references to that and the people that that work there, and yeah, a big collage.
But why is it called After the Matter then?
There's a line within it, "Fell out of my soft head the night we left the matter," and that was about bringing, oh, actually we were in a rehearsal together, and I got a phone call from my flatmate saying, "Morgan, you have to come home straight away, stop what you're doing, so, there's blood everywhere," and I obviously panicked because that's a terrible thing to tell someone, and it was about my boyfriend, and Gemma basically carted me out, put me in her car, we drove at the speed of light back to the house, got my boyfriend in the car, he'd fallen and banged his head, but it was just a tiny little scratch, it really was nothing, but I was like completely shaken. Gemma was like the ambulance driver, got us to the matter, and then we unloaded and just stood for like hours waiting while he just had this little bandage on his head. So that's kind of in reference to that.
Okay, all right. Well, it's another beautiful song. You're going to play us out with this one. So what's next for you? The album in October and more gigs all over the place. And where are your Irish gigs? Do you know yet?
Yes.
So, yeah, we start off in the Olympia, which is very
great.
Exciting.
Great. Yeah, is that your first time?
It's our first time.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, which we're really excited about. And then we kind of go from there. So we're playing, that's the first, that's on the 11th of October, and then we're playing in Cork, Clonakilty, Galway, Belfast, Derry.
Well, there'll be great gigs in Belfast and Derry, won't
there? And Limerick as well. It's nice, it's always nice to, the homecoming ones.
And where will you play in Derry, in the Millennium Forum?
In the Glassworks, actually, which is a really beautiful venue. We've had a few gigs in there over the last couple of years, and they've only recently, I think, in the last few years, started using it as a venue, but it's a really beautiful space, so
brilliant.
That'll be nice.
And you played Body and Soul earlier in the summer, and are you going to the Electric Picnic?
Yes,
I think
we'll
we
be
are
there.
Yeah,
yes,
we're
not sure in what
potentially.
Yeah, okay, you'll be there.
Might
we'll see
there
you there
some,
as well.
In some capacity.
Brilliant. Well, this song is called The Matter, not two T's, just one T, after the hospital, and it's from the album that's coming in October by Saint Sister called The Shape of Silence. And really was a pleasure talking to you and listening to you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Maybe we'll have you in again after the album.
Yeah, please do. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The Matter by Saint Sister.
I fell into you in the shadow of the staircase. Wash my hands of you in the kitchen sink. And in that house I knew we'd never close this distance. You said, baby, we are closer than you think. So I made love to the idea of your involvement. And the conversation we had in the dark, you said you never judged the way I saw my problems. And you left me in the garden talking art. I just wish we laughed in time. That's all. I just wish we laughed in time. That's all. That's all. Fell out of my soft head the night we left the matter. Bravo maestro, never seen the sky so pink. Fell into your soft bed and stayed the morning after. I said, baby, we are colder than we think. So I made love to the idea of your approval. And the conversation we had with our hands, I don't go in for that sort of thing, I told you. Then I sang Stand By Your Man. I just wish we laughed in time. That's all. told you then that I had slipped you on inside my head. There are bits of you in every journey home. Is it so bad I like the way I look from your side of the bed? You said, baby, did you think I didn't know? So I made love to the idea of our collusion and the conversations we had on the floor, while the backroom boys earned our disapproval. Come on, David, sing one more. I just wish we laughed in time. That's all. That's all. I just wish we laughed in time. That's all. That's all.
That's all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Morgan and Gemma of Saint Sister for coming in and being the first guests on this year's Music Month. Remember, you can subscribe to Roisin Meets wherever you get your podcast, and you can always find us on irishtimes.com. Today's podcast was produced by Jennifer Ryan with JJ Vernon on sound. I'm Roisin Ingle, and I'll talk to you next time.